Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Angela Decker. It's nearly spring, and for some of us, time to get those gardens ready. Our resident master gardener, Lynn Kuntzman, the current statewide master gardener of the year, joins Jeffrey Riley to offer some tips.
Lynn, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Great to be here.
So one of the things that I have noticed about gardening through the winter is, first of all, you don't do much of it. But second of all, this winter in particular seems a little confusing. I know we tend to get a little bit of a warm up in February, but it was so long this year that I just wonder how many plants, in addition to the blossoming trees, it's fooling.
Plenty. You know, I mean, the weeds are knee high in my vegetable garden, and stuff is just up everywhere. It's a good time to start putting in spring vegetables, get them in. It's that time. So you can be planting broccoli and cabbage and all those things.
Well, I noticed this is the other thing that confuses me, because there are different seasonal varieties of things. I actually had some broccoli that grew over the winter, and we've been eating it for the last couple of weeks.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
That's the best. That's,
mm-hmm.
That overwintering broccoli is wonderful, because you get like late February, early March harvest, and it's perfect. And it doesn't mind being out there in, 4-degree weather. It survives. It's amazing. Yeah.
But then there are different varieties that you would plant right now?
Just plant the regular broccoli now, and then again, you can plant it in September, for a fall harvest. And that's also when you plant the overwintering broccoli. So you plant both kinds in the fall. So, yeah, there are overwintering cabbages. There are lots of things that will make it. Kale will make it through the winter. So you can have kale year-round, really.
All right. So this is where I get confused, though, because you got different varieties of the same things that will just grow at different times of the year.
You got to read those seed packets. It's really important. I tell people, read the seed packets and read the seed catalogs, because they give you that information. You know, if you've got a good seed catalog, it has the information about, Is this a winter crop? Is this a spring or a summer crop? And how many days do you need to expect it to be in the ground? Really, really important.
Yeah, I'm only laughing because of it's once again the advice not taken. Just hours before, hours before this conversation, I saw all the seed stuff laid out at Bi-Mart and grabbed three packets and didn't read a one of them.
No, you just impulsively went and bought stuff off a rack when you saw it there. I know, that's how we all garden. We try to train people not to do that, but I do it myself. So,
I
need those.
Yeah. Well, the good news is your voice is in my head letting me know that, yes, we do need to do these things, even if we don't do them right now.
That's right.
So one of the things that I see on the list for things that you can plant in the month of March is planting cane fruits, so the blackberries, mm-hmm. the loganberries, all that stuff. One of the interesting things, though, is this little side note about where not to plant cane fruits, and specifically not where you have grown tomatoes in the last 2 years. What's that about?
Well, I don't know that, that's a good thing for somebody to Google and look up, because there may be some kind of wilt or something that tomatoes carry that berries are also susceptible to.
The notes I have indicate it's a verticillium wilt.
Right. That's that kind of a situation where you don't want to put the cane fruits, which are going to stay there for a long time, you don't want to put them at risk of getting a disease that the tomatoes might have been carrying. So put them somewhere where you weren't growing those kinds of crops.
And that gets me into a whole realm then of asking, because we've talked in the past about you want to move things around the garden. So you're not always growing tomatoes here, not always growing your cabbage there, that kind of thing. And so, for example, when I put the broccoli in the ground, some of it was in the section where the cucumbers had gone last year, and then some of it went down into a different section, like where pumpkins and stuff were. And the stuff further into the cucumber section are the biggest broccolis over the course of the winter.
Right. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, hard to tell, because you were probably fertilizing your cucumbers and your pumpkins pretty well last summer, to keep them growing. And that a lot of that fertilizer is probably still in the soil. A lot of those nutrients that you added are probably still in the soil. And the broccoli appreciates Broccoli can be a heavy feeder, so people don't realize they've got to fertilize their broccoli too. So it's probably taking advantage of some stuff that was left over from those melon beds that you turned in. Melons don't have real extensive roots, and so if you put fertilizer across the whole bed and then you put the coal crops in behind them in the fall, they're probably taking advantage of residual in the soil. Yeah.
Lynn Kunstman's back with us once again for Garden for Life here on the Jefferson Exchange. If you'd like to get a question answered on a future segment, send that along to us at jx@jeffnet.org. I'll print it up and have it on the top of the pile for the next time we talk to Lynn or any of the other master gardeners. So what about the soil itself, manipulation of the soil and doing things like fertilizing prior to planting? Is there anything we should be doing as we slide closer to spring here?
Hopefully you've had your garden mulched, or you've got some kind of a green manure crop on it, and if it's a green manure crop like a cover crop, you're going to cut that and let it decompose quickly. Give it a couple of weeks to break down if you're getting the garden ready for a summer. So you cut that, let it rot. If you have something like leaves, you want to pull those leaves back. And all through the winter, those have been decomposing, so they've been adding nutrition to the ground. When people put vegetables in, oftentimes as master gardeners, we recommend they get like a balanced organic fertilizer that they add into the root zone of the plants if they're putting in transplants, or if they're planting seed, that you add some just organic slow, all organic fertilizers are slow release. So it's going to be there for the growing season, and it's a good thing to add that to the soil. If some people get by with just adding compost, if you've got a good compost pile going, you can put compost in the planting hole, and that should be sufficient. So that was the question.
So compost in the planting hole, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, compost in the planting hole or the planting row. If you're making a row of seeds, that you put some compost down in there, and then put the seeds down and soil over. Either one of those, compost and or fertilizer. Some people do both. So it kind of depends, and watch how things grow. And if you feel you need to side dress with some fertilizer later in the season, that's an appropriate thing to do as well.
All right. So two things. Number one, when you say balanced fertilizer, you're talking like a 5-5-5 or something like that.
Well, that's a chemical. That would be a chemical fertilizer. Most organics are like 2-2-2 or 2-4-2, or they don't get up much past 4, because they're their bone meal and their worm poop and
stuff from fish.
There's ground fish and that kind of stuff, and so it's not high in those nutrients, but they're there. But if you chemically, you would want to use something that was not going to burn your plants. If you do something like 16-16-16, you better be really, really careful if you're using those petrochemicals, because you can scorch your vegetables if you apply it too heavily. So we like to tell people to use a lower kind of slow release organic. It's not going to burn the plants. It can't happen.
Well, and I do remember the advice about pulling the leaves back, because my inclination was just to keep everything covered for the hot part of the year. But the fact is, you want the sun in there.
No, because the seedlings they need the warmth and they need the light. So you need to pull the leaves back and keep them in a pile off to the side. And then once the plants are up and established, tuck them back in under the plants. That's fine.
Okay.
That works.
All right.
Yeah.
And have you done much in the way of putting the products of worm compost into a garden?
I used to have a worm bin, and there are worms in my compost pile. So in that sense, I'm putting worm compost into my garden because my compost pile is full of worms. And so they're doing their poopy thing out there in the yard.
Technical term.
I don't need them in a special container or anything,
Right.
I've done that before, and it's like, we're over that. So if you've got a large enough compost pile, even if it gets down to freezing during the winter, some worms will survive, and they're in there, and they're doing their wormy thing. So I just like to have them out there, and then they go into the garden with the compost.
Okay.
They either make it or they don't in the garden, because they they're a little hotter out there than they like being. But yeah, we've got millions of worms in my compost pile.
Okay, good to know, because yeah, we have worm compost that we haven't made much use of yet, but just use it like the regular stuff.
It's great stuff. I mean, worm castings are a perfect fertilizer. Mm-hmm. There's just nothing better. Yeah.
Lynn Kunstman with us once again for Garden for Life here on the Jefferson Exchange. And I'll make the offer once again. If you have a question you'd like Lynn or one of the other master gardeners to answer, send it along to jx@jeffnet.org, and we'll hold on to it for our next session of Garden for Life. So let's see. Oh, when you were talking about planting and putting stuff in the ground now for the stuff that is, it's that time of year.
Yes.
I want to ask about planting depth. How deep relative to wide? Is there a general rule of thumb there?
So if you're buying transplants at the nursery, you know, when we teach gardeners to transplant plants that are already growing in a cell pack or something like that, we tell them to plant them right up to their throats. In other words, you plant them up to the true leaves. The soil level goes up to those true leaves, because the stem that's below ground will make roots. And so when I'm putting in broccoli or cauliflower or cabbage, those kinds of things, I tuck them in pretty low there and bring the soil right up around those lower leaves.
Give them a little turtleneck with the dirt, in other words.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's like a little turtleneck sweater, you know. And they seem to do well. I mean, they do. I've never had any problem with that. People think, oh no, you've got to plant it at the same level as the soil. No, you really can put them deeper down, and they will take advantage of that extra stem underground. To the meristematic cells will put out rootlets, and so you get more root established that way. So,
yeah, and those cell packs are good. I've tried to do it a different way, and it was just a massive, massive waste of time and failure as well.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like getting transplants. I like putting transplants out, because if I try to grow things from seed, I've got so many birds visiting my yard, and they just will dig up everything and never get anything very well established from seed. Some people can do it, if you put down row covers, mm-hmm. if you're a more careful gardener than I am, and you tend to your seedlings properly, then certainly you can do that. You put down screen, or you put down floating row covers, keep the birds out, make sure you're checking for earwigs, because that's the other thing that hoses the seedlings in my garden. I've got so many earwigs and little critters that like to come through, and just slugs and snails, and I'm not baiting or poisoning, you know, so little tiny plants are at grave risk in my yard. So I put them in when they're bigger, burlier guys.
They can fight off. They can
they
fend
survive.
For themselves a bit.
It's like, get away from me, slug. I can't. You're not eating me. You know, yeah.
Big, burly plants. Okay, that's our takeaway.
Big, burly plants. I like to put the big, burly plants in. So.
Got about a minute left. Do you want to talk about what, Master Gardener Spring Fair coming?
Yeah, Spring Garden Fair is, we're doing it 2 days this year. It's out at Extension again. So the first Saturday and Sunday in May. And there are going to be a bunch of other vendors out there, you know, some of the ones that people are used to seeing at the old Spring Garden Fair. We're trying to get things up and going out there at the Extension grounds. So it's a nice place for people to come and visit and walk the gardens while they're there at Spring Fair and look at the demonstration gardens. So, yeah.
And so that's basically 2 months off from when we're going to air this. And so this is a good time, though. It seems like early March. If you're thinking about a garden, if you've been on the fence about it, you still got plenty of time to commit.
Yeah, put it on your calendar and look for the flyers. Look for the ads around town. There'll be flyers in the nurseries, and you know, people they'll see them, banners hanging over streets and all that good stuff.
Okay, so the takeaways for this month are read the seed packets, for God's sake, like I didn't. Then, yes, you can commit to your garden now, and then Master Gardener Spring Fair, first Saturday and Sunday in May.
Yeah, we're going to have lots of vegetables, and that's a perfect time to buy veggies and take them home and get them ready to go in your garden.
All right, Master Gardener Lynn Kunstman, as always, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And that's it for today's exchange. JeffExchange.org is our website, where you can find these stories and more, or subscribe to our podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great weekend.